Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And for today's episode, we have special guest Rachel Siegel. She was with us at the CryptoCurrent conference back in March of 2019, and she gave a really interesting presentation on millennials and mass adoption. An extremely relevant conversation that has definitely panned out over the last several months since the conference. Really great conversation. Excited for you to listen in today. Hope you enjoy the episode.
I'm all good? All right. Hi, that was a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Richard. My name is Rachel Siegel. My channel is Crypto Finally. I create content about cryptocurrency, most specifically music videos. So I make music videos to teach, educate, and help expand the blockchain space and get more people involved. What I'm going to be talking about today is not necessarily my music videos, but the importance of involving this kind of media. All right. So, media millennials and mass adoption, what drives sentiment? So what I'm about to show you, I'm sure you've all seen before, so bear with me. Bear with me more. Google Trends, right? We are all familiar with the Google Trends and the search term Bitcoin. We see right here, this little jump going around 2013, 2014, and then obviously December 2017, right there, the biggest spike. So what that means is that December 2017 was the most searches that people have ever done on Google for Bitcoin. Now you guys know this, you've seen this. This is CoinMarketCap. This is the same time period. So you're looking at the Bitcoin trends on Google and you're looking at the actual market cap and what's going on with the space. You can see it's directly correlated. So what I want to bring up now is how do we get people to search Bitcoin? If it is so clearly related, this is something that we actually need to be focusing on. So, I have for you here, cryptocurrency and popular culture. I don't know why the font on that one got really small, but I'll read these guys. The whole formatting is weird, I'm sorry. So here we have 2012, right? This is the first instance that we see, The Good Wife, 2012. And I'm actually gonna play for you a clip of that reference because it is extremely interesting to watch this transition. So 2012, The Good Life, you guys probably cannot read this from where you're standing, but 2014, we're looking at public figures. There's Richard Branson, Cameron Tyler Winklevoss, Bill Gates. So we're really looking at that tech mogul side. These are people who are on the ground floor of a lot of big revolutionary things like this. And honestly, this should have been a key. Hey, something big is about to happen, right? So we see that happen there. Then we're looking at Mike Tyson, 2015. I don't know if you guys remember the very first Bitcoin celebrity licensing, which was the Mike Tyson Bitcoin ATMs. Happened at the Link in Las Vegas. I'm gonna get more into that, but it was a really fascinating catalyst and jumping off point when it comes to ICOs and licensing the information of Bitcoin to celebrities. So then we move up here. Immediately, 2017, Paris Hilton, Jamie Foxx, Floyd Mayweather, The Game, Ashton Kutcher, DJ Khaled, Ghostface Killah, Gwyneth Paltrow, Katy Perry, Akon, Madonna. We are all starting to get involved in 2017. Now, I know we know what happened to Khaled, Mayweather, all of these sort of fishy situations. But what's important to note is as this is happening, the Bitcoin trends are going up. The market cap is going up. People are starting to get involved. After this happens with all of these celebrities getting here, we start seeing the transition in TV and film. So I brought up to you already, The Good Wife, the way that it's portrayed, it's incredibly difficult to get involved. The clip we're gonna watch is a son about my age, and he is a hacker, and he's trying to teach his mother how to use Bitcoin. It's impossible, she doesn't understand it. Then we look at Almost Human, The Simpsons, Silicon Valley. We're looking at this specific demographic again. We're tech-focused, we're sci-fi focused, right? And once this starts happening with the celebrities and the public figures, there starts to be a transition in what's going on in TV and film, in media. So we go pretty quickly from living in these sci-fi things to entering Netflix, Family Guy, Big Bang Theory, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, then comes banking on Bitcoin. I'm gonna get more into this. Banking on Bitcoin becomes one of the first accessible ways for us to learn about cryptocurrency. Everyone's got Netflix. Not everyone, but a lot of us do. And a lot of us have the time to stop and understand something that's gonna be accessible like that. Then it goes in bigger, then we see Superfly. Suddenly, we start showing up in music, which is interesting. People, TV, film, music. So what's fascinating about music are these little references. So I don't know if any of you have heard Eminem's new album, Kamikaze, in Not Alike. There is one line, and he says, and everybody's doing Bitcoin. And what's important about that in music, as opposed to TV and film, that gets stuck in your head. And you hear it, and you hear it, and you listen for the song, and you want to know more about what is Bitcoin, right? So let's actually start getting into this. So this is The Good Wife, 2012. And we're just going to watch a short clip of the portrayal. Okay, so basically what we just saw there, this is one of the very first media representations of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Very clear what's going on here. These kids are tech savvy. Mom doesn't understand, and she needs it broken down for her. They will go further into this, and there's a further explanation in which she speaks about, isn't this for criminals? Why is it that we can't all get involved, right? So this is the very first portrayal, and I think that this is very important when we're actually looking at the space and how we started to get our ground feet. So here, this part is what I find pretty fascinating. So these are the references that I had made about 2013 and 2014. So these are the pop culture references of Bitcoin cryptocurrency at that time. And when you hear the names, you hear about Winklevoss, you hear about NCIS, Person of Interest, Simpsons, Bill Gates, Silicon Valley, you think, all right, you know what? We are getting media attention. We're starting to get out there. These are big names. These are big shows. But if you put it all together, you can see that it actually builds its own demographic profile. So this is 2013, 2014, and this is the demographic that was being targeted at that time. So we're talking again, we're looking at the tech moguls, we're tech heavy, we're sci-fi heavy, and it's generally that group of people who gets in on the ground floor. I want to take a second to really recognize there was no way for me to get involved through media and understanding when this is what was going on. I had no knowledge of this. It did not pass me. I had no exposure. And this was the very targeted demographic and the ones who ended up making it in the bull run. So, oh. All right, so now we're moving forward, right? Now we're in Las Vegas, 2015, launching the Mike Tyson Bitcoin ATM, which is ambitious, but it is the first celebrity Bitcoin licensing, which, surprisingly, despite the branding, despite what's going on, they are expanding and they're getting more people involved, right? And believe it or not, for a while, it worked. CNBC talking about the new wallet that Mike Tyson's coming out with. Now I know we are not all here with a Mike Tyson wallet on our phone today, but this did hit mainstream news very quickly. Despite the legitimacy sort of the project, they got a lot of slack. This was one of the first times that people were really looking into that that licensing issue. So this was there was a company behind them called Bitcoin Direct. And I don't know if any of you ever heard of Bitcoin Direct, but basically, it was more or less a shadow company that was created for this purpose, for Mike Tyson. And when you look more into what was going on with them in Bitcoin Direct, you can see there are issues, there are reasons people thought this was a scam. There was no website. They had no cyber links. There was no digital trace of Bitcoin Direct anywhere. They created the company 4 months prior to Mike Tyson doing all these things. So the company literally existed for the purpose of Tyson. So no, there wasn't a big technological backing. There wasn't a lot of real use case for what was going on here, right? Then we come up to Making on Bitcoin, 2017 on Netflix. I am a big fan of what went on here. I am actually the host of the Bitcoin Center New York, which is featured in Banking on Bitcoin. But this is really one of the first times that people were able to sit down in their own home outside of the internet and watch and learn more, not just about how to use blockchain and cryptocurrency, but about the community that backs it. For me, this is incredibly important, keeping in mind the community is here and backing it. So this was huge. And again, 2017, we all know what happened then. And that's when all the celebrities start going. That's when Bitcoin starts running. We're in the news. We're everywhere. People are hearing about it. And then we move forward, right? Now we're talking about these celebrity ICOs. We got Floyd Mayweather and Ashton Kutcher over here. Ashton Kutcher's at BitPay. This is Mayweather doing Hubie. I don't know, you see there's several other Instagram posts of Mayweather. He's on jets, private jets with cash in front of him, talking about all these things that he's going for. Got cracked down by the SEC, we're not surprised. But what you wanna note from these images that we're looking at here is the change in style and perception of cryptocurrency, okay? Mayweather in a very nice suit, looking good. Ashton Kutcher with the BitPay team all together. Now, the way that we're viewing it is changing, right? We're no longer the nerdy hackers in the room. We are the elite. And what is fascinating about this, especially when it comes to millennial culture, is we have been stuck in the gig economy, right? So this age and what you will about it, we have been stuck in this new gig economy in which people are starting to push forwards, wanting to start their own ventures, become their own business models, right? And this is really supporting that movement. All of a sudden, we have this way of getting involved and becoming some of the elite on our own. This is important. Katy Perry comes on shortly after that. And the reason this is important, and I don't want this to sound any kind of way, but this is one of my first exposures to cryptocurrency, like, which is amazing. Katy Perry got her nails done, posted it, 200,000 likes, like, and this photo was taken probably, it was a screenshot taken the day that she put it up. And the importance of this is, yeah, it's flashy. No, it doesn't really help the tech space, but it is getting people curious and involved, which is important. So now we come to February 2019, right? Jack Dorsey tweeting about Bitcoin, which was insane. I don't know if any of you are actually on crypto Twitter. I am I love crypto Twitter. I'm on it all the time, always tweeting at the people. When this happened, all of a sudden, our friends, the people that we knew, were being tweeted at by Jack. And it was insane. I woke up that morning and people on my level with my capita creating my kind of content are being blown up by the CEO and creator of Twitter. This is huge. This is an adaptation of tech and social spaces that we had yet to see. So we saw what went on with Mayweather, we saw that transformation, but now the actual creators of these platforms are getting involved and endorsing it. So this is, I'm gonna play for you a short clip of this. I don't know if any of you have seen Juicy J released a music video. February 2019, it's brand new. It is called Let Me See. This music video is about blockchain technology. It is also about creating your own business, having your own ventures, and being successful. So I'm just gonna make sure I can play this here without the music because I'm gonna speak through it. Right about here. Okay. So I want you to see what's going on here. We've actually switched. So this here, this is the good wife. This is the first representation we had of cryptocurrency. And now he's over here working for Juicy. I'm gonna show you a clip of that. That was him actually writing out blockchain code for EOS. Which is interesting. So what I want to really focus on here is what we're seeing is similar to the same sort of music videos that we've seen in the past, right? Only things are changing. He is the CEO. The girls in the background have files, they have phones, and he's really making this business work for him, and it is rooted in cryptocurrency. And these messages we keep seeing, mogul, visionary, player, lone wolf, he did it on his own, is so important when it comes to this demographic, getting out of the gig economy and being able to work for ourselves. So this portrayal, brand new, along the lines of Superfly, along the lines of Jack Dorsey, is something we really need to focus on because it's one of the first of its kinds, okay? So then you can see very clearly up here, this is a clip from the video. They're actually writing out blockchain code talking about EOS. I'm pretty sure EOS is really deep in here, but these are those images again that I wanna talk about. This is the shift in the cultural paradigm, right? At the end of that clip, which we didn't get to, it's Juicy J and Kevin Gates investing into Little Skies, right? Who has created his own tech company. He's now a tech mogul. And these images from a rap and hip hop music video, right? Really actually accessing this change, this overlap, him in the chair with the graphs coming up over him. Again, visionary player, lone wolf, how he changed the game with no help, right? It's really opening up this world for us. It's letting us know there is possibility for success in a place where we have not yet found it, all right? And that That is what I love about the space right now. I love this ground floor. I love that there's a platform for growth. I've made songs and videos and content my entire life, but I chose to come over to blockchain and cryptocurrency because there is something so big on the other end, and it's offering me an opportunity that I have never had before, all right? And so then we come back to mass adoption. Yeah, we have actually. Yeah, so when we're talking about this, how do we make cryptocurrency and blockchain accessible? We have the tech, we have the UI, but we really need to think about the distribution and accessibility. I know that we are very tech focused, we are very interface focused, and yes, these things are incredibly important, which is why they are coming first. But if there is not distribution and there is not accessibility, and we cannot leave that original demographic, the demographic that does exist within the space, start exposing to more people and getting them involved, I don't see the chance of us actually adopting. So this is going to be incredibly important. And if you want a small scale perception of what I'm saying, imagine you upload a video to YouTube. You have the best video in the world with the best information and the best content, and it kills every other video on YouTube. If you can't get it in front of people, you will never get views. And that's the way that we really need to think about the space, this emerging market, and tech spaces moving forward, is how are we going to get them involved thinking about what's happening? And that's me. Thanks, guys. I was really clear, huh? No? All right.
So how do you make cryptocurrency accessible to everybody, going from like the kids all the way up to like my grandparents?
What I would say to mainly focus on, you're making it accessible to everybody. You need to really access the kids and the grandparents. There isn't one size fits all here, right? So you want kids to get involved, you want them to start learning. We need to create content that's going to involve them. And just for the nature of time and space, accessing an 8-year-old is not gonna be the same way you'd access a 65-year-old. So while it is about making it clear and accessible, I think that really focusing in on these groups of people is going to be important. Yes, the tech is important. If the tech is good, we're going to use it. But we have to see it and we have to know it's there. Unless, you know, we go the other route, which is mass adoption hits and it's only because none of us know that it's happening, which is also possible. that's how I would say about that. Anyone else?
Would you say that some of your content will be appropriate for, say, an 11-year-old?
Yes. So my content is all G-rated except for that one at NYSE, which I would not show to an 11-year-old. The rest of them, they're cartoons. I do educational videos. So I'm sure you guys are familiar with the one-hit wonder, This Is Why I'm Hot. I'm actually good friends with Mims. He lives out in New York. And I created a cryptocurrency remix. It's a whiteboard educational video called This Is How I Bought. So those of you who are asking questions about Coinbase, getting started on Ledger, using cold wallets, I actually do very simply explain it within that video. I don't have any cursing, nothing inappropriate at any time. So yeah, you can definitely show it to kids. Beth. Yes.
Yeah, so I've been in the crypto space for a good while now. My main focus has been marketing as well, except I do mainly brand marketing for companies. But I was curious, so big part of marketing is this idea of telling a story that people are able to connect with. So how would you say we should apply this idea of telling a story specifically to millennials? I never thought about it in the context of just millennials, but that is one of the primary target groups I think that we're trying to get involved.
Well, I mean, when you target millennials, accessing us and getting them involved into that degree, I mean, how would you go about doing that, right? We're passionate, and we care about content, and we care about what it is that's in front of us, right? So while the tech is there, I think that something that's really important for us in the storytelling is understanding, you know, what is that arc? You know, because a lot of us in the millennial culture right now, we're stuck at that first half of the arc. You know, we're not making it through the rest of the story. And so we have to really be able to explain, like, how is it going to take us all the way through? And don't stop at the UI. Go all the way through it. Like what I just explained about the culture, about starting on your own, that is so important. And I think that there are a lot of millennials right now who that it would reach them, you know, if they had that information. This is a way that you can work for yourself and make it happen.
Yeah, it's all about this idea of my
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's important. Yeah. Yes.
So you said like the first reference was in 2012?
That's the first television media reference. Yeah.
The trends of it increasing in pop culture, where do you see it sort of leading? Is it sort of just going to be ubiquitous, or like how do you see the trends? Like where is it headed now?
I think we're going in the direction of that Juicy J music video. And I think that is one of the best directions we could be going when it comes to actually involving people. Know that music video is not gonna be representative of what the space is, but what's important is that we're actually seeing that this is a possibility and there's chances behind it. So I really do think we're gonna take this 2019 look on it. I think even looking at the transformation historically and the way that it's happened, we are just progressing and progressing and moving. The closer we get to pop culture, the closer we're gonna get to adoption. And that would just be my take on it. All right, yep.
The source of your concept, when you come up with like a new concept of like how you would present this to someone, can you walk us through like your creative process of how you do that?
My music videos? Oh, okay, well, it's gonna sound like really hammy, but my song is that I write, if they don't come to me like a godlike stroke, you know, if I don't know the song, if it's not in my head, as soon as I start writing it out, I know that it's not gonna be very good. So that's kind of an interesting one. I go through the music, I try to, so basically my songs are parodies, so like what I said, this is how I bought, this is why I'm hot, I've done a lot like that. So the one at NYSE is Britney Spears Toxic, it's called Top Six. I go, you'll love it. Like, look it up later, not right now, though. But I go through, I create the songs, and then I'm focusing on blockchain technology. I'm thinking, how is it that we can keep this trend and this catchiness and this thing that people already are familiar with and enjoy, but make it educational and expand what's going on there? So I write out the songs. Then we do the recordings and then turn it into, some of them are animations, some of them are live action, right? And it's really, for me, outside of even the lyrics and my animations, I wanna make sure that Bitcoin and blockchain are on the forefront, right? So it can be going on in the song, but I wanna make sure that in front of your face, you are seeing references to what's going on. So that's a big part of what I do. And then getting it out in front of people is, I think, I wanna say, a lot of people don't consider this, but it's 30% of what I do in creating content is getting it in front of people, is SEO, is making sure that people are actually going to be able to access it. A lot of people, and this is just where I come from in the point of like releasing and creating content, especially when you're using social media platforms. I need everyone to sort of remember, social media platforms work within themselves. We have understanding of it, but say I created something, again, a YouTube video, right? And it's awesome, but I made the mistake of only gearing towards you guys, right? I know you guys are gonna love this video and I'm putting it out because you guys are gonna love it, but I didn't work with the platform. I didn't work with the algorithm. Just like everything else in tech works, you really need to take a really important close look at these baselines, right? So I spend a lot of time actually working within the algorithm, and that's where a lot of people make mistakes. That's why a lot of people don't get views or their videos out there, is panning to the platform is just as important as panning to the people. No. And that's just on a social media standpoint. Meh. Anyone else?
Anybody want one final last question?
No final last question. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DERITTER Productions.com.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.
Please use available exits now.